The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Cindy Fowler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Triangle Gardener Magazine, the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, the state-by-state gardening website, and maybe from Carrots Love Tomatoes and Roses Love Garlic by Louise Riot. And we'll start with the National Gardening Association e-newsletter. Choosing tomato varieties. Healthy, vigorous tomato vines can produce a lot of fruit. If you're new to gardening, try growing just a few at first, perhaps two to three different varieties. But of thousands available, from cherished heirloom types to the hottest new hybrids, how do you narrow your choices? Criteria for choosing varieties. When do fruits ripen? Since varieties mature at different times, you can stretch your harvest over many weeks. If buying seeds to start your own plants, read catalog descriptions carefully to discover days to maturity. This indicates how soon you can expect ripe fruit once you've transplanted seedlings to the garden. Plants sold at garden centers are often labeled early, mid-season, or late, to indicate when the variety should start ripening. Determinate versus indeterminate. Another consideration is whether the vines are determinate or indeterminate. Determinate plants stop growing once flower buds emerge because of their restrained size. Many determinate varieties need no staking or caging, but providing support can improve the quality of the fruit. All fruit ripens within a relatively short period of time, usually about a week to 10 days. This can be a boon if you're canning, but for the gardener who prefers to have a fewer number of tomatoes over a longer period of time, indeterminate varieties are better. The vines continue to grow and set fruit throughout the season and won't quit until the weather turns too hot or too cold to sustain fruiting and growth or kills plants outright. For gardeners with little space or only a deck or balcony to grow on, patio and bush varieties are a good option. They're more compact than determinants, yet produce fruit throughout the season like indeterminate types. They are bred to succeed in small spaces. What to do with the fruit? When selecting a tomato variety, keep in mind what you plan to do with the fruits. There are varieties suited for just about every purpose: eating fresh, making tomato paste, canning, drying, even for cultivating into a county fair prize winner. Seeds or transplants. The easiest way to get your tomato patch started is to purchase young plants, also called transplants or starts. You can pick up plants at garden centers or order them through catalogs or the internet. For years, gardeners who bought plants had a very narrow field of variety choices, but thanks to an expanding mail order trade, the options are greater than ever. Starting your own seed gives you an almost endless list of varieties to choose from, allowing you to get just the type that will suit your growing conditions and taste. Starting seeds gives you a chance to start gardening earlier in the season, and nurturing plants from seed to harvest is a great experience. Plant seeds 6 to 8 weeks before the last frost date for your region and place under fluorescent light. Disease resistance. By planting tomato varieties with built-in resistance to diseases, you can have a bit more control over your garden's success. For instance, many tomato varieties are resistant to soil-borne diseases such as Verticillium and Fusarium wilts and nematodes. Most seed catalogs indicate resistance to these diseases by putting F. Fusarium, V. verticillium, in nematodes after the variety name. You'll also see varieties with resistance to viruses such as tomato mosaic virus, T, and to Alternaria, A, the fungus that causes early blight. Talk to the master gardener's office or to neighboring home gardeners. They can tell you if certain tomato diseases are common in your area. Experiment. If you are not counting on your garden as your only food source, you can certainly afford to risk planting the varieties that appeal to you. Perhaps an heirloom that, though not resistant to disease, is reportedly produces the most delicious tomatoes in the world. Experimentation is part of the joy of gardening, and part of your harvest is what you learn along the way. Now, hibiscus plant care and collection of varieties, moderated by Zuzu. Hibiscus are large shrubs or small trees that produce huge, colorful, trumpet-shaped flowers over a long season. They are generally divided into four groups: hardy hibiscus, Rose of Sharon, tropical hibiscus, and all the various species of hibiscus. About hibiscus. Hibiscus are deciduous shrubs with dark green leaves. The plants can grow to 15 feet tall in frost-free areas. Flowers may be up to 6 inches diameter, with colors ranging from yellow to peach to red. Hibiscus can be planted singly or grown as a hedge plant. They can also be pruned into a single-stemmed small tree. The flowers are attractive to butterflies and hummingbirds. Choosing a site. Select a site with full sun and well-drained soil. Hibiscus also adapt well to growing in containers. Plant in spring, summer, or fall. Spacing plants 3 to 6 feet apart. Dig a hole only as deep as the root ball and 2 to 3 times as wide. If your soil is in very poor condition, amend the soil you've removed from the hole with a small amount of compost. Otherwise, don't amend it at all. Carefully remove the plant from the container and set it in the hole. Fill the hole half full with soil. Then water it well to settle the soil and eliminate air pockets. Let the water drain. Then fill the remainder of the hole with soil and water thoroughly. Hibiscus require at least 1 inch of rain or equivalent watering each week. They like to be constantly moist but not wet. Feed twice a month during the growing season and prune as necessary to control plant size and cut back errant branches. Cut branches back to just above a side root shoot. Hibiscus are sensitive to cold and should be protected when temperatures dip into the 30s. Container-grown plants should be brought indoors. Check plants periodically for pests such as aphids, white flies, and mealybugs. Use a horticultural oil or insecticidal soap to control these pests. Hibiscus tea. The flowers of hibiscus, steeped in boiling water, produce a delicious and healthy tea which has a taste resembling cranberry juice. It is said to lower blood pressure and contains numerous valuable vitamins and essential fatty acids. Now from the Triangle Gardener magazine by Christine Thompson. Follow your urge to garden. The warm sunshine of May and June lures people out of doors. Walking the Triangle's greenways or sitting outside enjoying the bounty of a trendy restaurant are how many respond to gorgeous weather. To others, spring awakens a primordial urge to start gardening. Once gardeners switch into the serious gardening mode, they should consult suggestions for the best planting practices before charging into the garden supply stores. One source of quick advice on gardening is Ground Rules by Kate Frey. This volume offers 100 easy lessons for growing a more glorious garden. Combined with lovely photographs, the short one-page articles present the basic facts on such topics as choosing plants, developing the soil, using water wisely, controlling unwanted animals, and designing a garden. Even armed with doses of basic gardening knowledge, the visit to the plant nursery can be a disorienting experience. Wandering the aisles, new scents, shapes, and hues tempt gardeners into purchasing beautiful but expensive plants. The cart fills with annuals, perennials, bushes, and new colorful containers. Swallowing hard, many gardeners pay a higher total price than expected and experience short-lived regret at the cost before rushing home to plant the new beauties. For those who cannot resist purchasing numerous and/or expensive plants, sensible help with lessening gardening cost is offered in The Budget Wise Gardener by Carrie Ann Mendez. She provides hundreds of money-saving buying and design tips for planting the best for less. Mendez's book is not limited to just cheaper buying tips. The what, when, where, and how to choose and buy plants are explained. She advises delaying purchasing expensive plants until fall. Not only is autumn a best season for planting, but it is also the time that nurseries offer sales to clear their merchandise. Among the many plants that she recommends is a listing of shrubs that earn their keep. These include plants such as the familiar oak leaf hydrangea and holly, which provide different aspects of beauty across the seasons. How to shop less expensively with mail-order catalogs or at garden centers is included in the section on plant sources. Before gardeners mail-order products, she advises consulting the Dave's Garden website. Its Garden Watchdog section contains ratings by customers of over 7,000 mail-order companies. This website also locates companies that sell special plants and products near your home. For container gardens, Mendez suggests filling pots with perennials and small shrubs rather than purchasing annuals as seasons change. If planning on leaving these potted perennials outside during the winter, be sure that the container is weather-resistant and that the included plants are considered hardy in at least two zones colder than the zone 7 common to the triangle. After reading these books, a gardener should be motivated to visit a garden store. Using less money and a cell phone to access extra internet knowledge, a cheaper, lovelier garden is possible this summer. And now we've got several garden events coming up. So, Origami in the Garden 2, from May 5th through September the 8th. A traveling collection of metal sculptures inspired by origami creations. There is a fee, and this happens at the Cape Fear Botanical Garden in Fayetteville. And Landscape Plants for North Carolina Gardens, May 8th through the 29th, Wednesdays, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Expand your palette of plants with information on plants that thrive in North Carolina Gardens. There's a fee, and you do need to pre-register. This happens at Serapeade 2 Gardens in Durham. For more information, call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707. And the North Carolina Wildflower Program, May the 9th at 12 noon, with Derek Smith, Environmental Engineer NC. There is a fee, and bring your lunch. This happens at the Paul J. Senior Botanical Garden, located at 215 South Main Street in Kernersville, and the Raleigh Garden Club plant sale, May the 9th through the 11th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. Pick from hanging baskets to pots, or design a new arrangement created by a garden club member, food trucks, garden crafts, and yard art. It supports the J.C. Ralston Arboretum, Raleigh Parks and Recreation, NCSU Horticultural Scholarships, and the historic Polk House. This is at 537 Blunt Street in Raleigh. And the Wake Forest Garden Club Mad Hatter's Tea Party and Garden/Art Tour, May the 11th. Tour lovely home gardens with local plein air artists. Mad Hatter's Tea at the Wake Forest Historical Museum from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Garden and Art Tour from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Go to wfgardenclub.org for details on ticket prices. And the Apex Historical Society Plant Sale, May the 11th, 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Proceeds support the Maynard Pearson House. Come early for the best selections, rain or shine. It's at 1101 Olive Chapel Road in Apex. And Herbaceous Perennials Propagation, May the 11th, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Join Doug Ruren in this propagation class and demonstration focused on propagating herbaceous perennials. There is a fee and you need to pre-register. This happens at J.C. Ralston Arboretum, located at North Carolina State University in Raleigh. For more information, call 919-515-3132. 919-515-3132. And plant propagation cuttings, May 14 and 21, 10:30 a.m. to 12 noon. Learn to grow your own plants using four simple techniques: seeds, dividing, layering, and cuttings. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This will be at Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. Call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707 for more information. And Victorian Flowers, a floral design workshop, May the 15th, 6:30 p.m. till 8 p.m. Learn the art and history of Victorian floral arranging and create your own Victorian arrangement to take home. There's a fee, and you need to pre-register to reclink.raleighnc.gov or call 919-996-4364. 919-996-4364. Now from the state-by-state gardening website, here are some more events going on in May. On May the 10th, in Asheville, North Carolina, What Goes Hop in the Night at the North Carolina Arboretum. Marking the last weekend of the In the Dark exhibit, this is a family-friendly event with food and local brews, looking at nocturnal amphibians. Learn to identify species like summer calling gray tree frogs by ear. There will be live specimens and a guided night hike. Children will need an adult, and ID is required for alcohol. Participants can get 5 bonus points in the Eco Explore program. It's from 8 until 10 p.m. It's free besides parking, but a $5 donation to the NC Arboretum Society is welcome. Registration is required. For more information, call 828-665-2492. 828-665-2492. And May 10th through the 11th in Greensboro, North Carolina, the 18th Annual Pass-Along Plant Sale by the new North Carolina Cooperative Extension, Guilford County Center. Plants of all types will be offered, and master gardeners will field questions. The site address is 3309 Burlington Road, and that happens May the 10th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and also on May the 11th from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. For more information, call 336-641-2400. Again, 336-641-2400. Also on May the 11th in Asheville, North Carolina, World Bonsai Day at the North Carolina Arboretum. World Bonsai Day, the second Saturday in May, was created by the World Bonsai Friendship Federation in honor of founder Saburo Kato and promotes the appreciation of this art. In celebration, the Arboretum's outdoor bonsai exhibits will open for the season May 11th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., general admission. For more information, call 828-665-2492. 828-665-2492. Also on May 11th in Asheville, North Carolina, a lot going on in Asheville that day, the Dahlia Tuber Sale at the North Carolina Arboretum. Consider buying a dahlia at the Carolina Dahlia Society's annual tuber sale, 9 a.m. until 2 p.m., general admission. For more info, call 828-665-2492, 828-665-2492. And on May the 11th, in Wilmington, North Carolina, the 16th Annual Wilmington Cape Fear Rose Society Rose Tour in and around Wilmington. Members will open their gardens and answer questions about rose culture. There will also be coffee or snacks. It's organized by the Cape Fear Rose Society, and this year is in memoriam of former President Lorraine Carter. It's from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and it's free. Registration is not required. For more information, call 910-297-5538. 910-297-5538. And now, from Carrots Love Tomatoes and Roses Love Garlic by Louise Riot. Here's some companion planting. Nasturtium. Nasturtiums planted with squash will keep away squash bugs, but be sure to give the flowers a head start, since the squash will grow more quickly. If aphids appear in the nasturtiums, a sign that there is lime deficiency in your soil, dust the plants with lime and they will disappear. Nasturtiums sown in a greenhouse will help repel whiteflies. When planted near broccoli in the garden, they will keep down aphids and benefit potatoes, radishes, cucurbits, and any member of the cabbage family. Under apple trees, they will protect against woolly aphids. Use sprays made from nasturtium leaves on the same crops that benefit from the nasturtium plants. Add a small amount of soap powder. The sprays will adhere better. Nasturtiums planted nearby or made into a spray will repel a range of harmful insects from vegetables and fruits. They also improve growth in the neighboring crops. And pepper, capsicum. A California study found that natural juices squeezed from succulent plants, such as green peppers, were effective in protecting other plants from viruses. They work against diseases transmitted by insects or wind. The sprays were found effective against tobacco mosaic virus, potato virus, and several other viruses carried by aphids. Strangely, the compounds do not kill the viruses, but change the plant so it is not susceptible. Old-time gardeners planted hot peppers among their flowers to discourage insect pests. Some of the lovely and unusual ornamental peppers would be excellent choices. Now, here are some pests and their controls. Ant and the aphid that ants carry. The plants that help are pennyroyal, spearmint, southern wood, and tansy. Now, against the cutworm, it's garlic, tansy, and against the borer, it's garlic, tansy, and onion. For the cutworm, it's simply tansy. Now, for the flea beetle, wormwood, mint, and catnip. For the fruit tree moth, southern wood. Against the gopher, plant castor bean. Against the Japanese beetle, garlic, larkspur, but larkspur is poisonous to humans, tansy, rue, and geranium. Use white geranium. And the leafhopper, petunia, and geranium. To fight the Mexican bean beetle, use marigold, rosemary, summer savory, and petunia. Against the mouse, mint. For moles, use spurge, castor bean, mole plant, and squill. And against the nematode, marigold, African and French, salvia, use scarlet sage, the dahlia, calendula, which is pot marigold, and crotalaria. And for the plum curculio, garlic. For the rabbit, the allium family. For rose chafer, onion family, geranium, and petunias. For slug and snail, prostrate rosemary and wormwood. For the squash bug, tansy and nasturtium. For the striped pumpkin beetle, nasturtium. For the tomato hornworm, borage, marigold, and opal basil. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you enjoyed it. I'm Cindy Fowler, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.